This is the kingdom. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I'm Lisa. Most of you guys know that, so I'll save the long introduction and just say, I don't know what that stirs up for you, but we are not alone. They are not alone. That same God that we sang about, thank you for that song, that same God is moving here in power and moving there in power. And so what's our part in it? Can we pray? Let's pray for these places, these hard places. Father, thank you that it's your spirit. It's nothing else. It's your spirit that will accomplish your great commission, Jesus. Help us to open our eyes and our ears to the call specifically in our lives. God, it's not about 40 years in a country that's far off. It's about right here, right now. So would you make us sensitive to your voice? Would you give us encouragement where there's been fear or trepidation? Would you give us a sense of courage? And Lord, I pray for that same sense of courage to be on the people serving throughout the globe. Your gospel is being preached in word and in deed. And so we join, Lord God, we join with those good people, your children, and we say, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven today and until you come back again, King Jesus. Provide what they need, what we need. Keep the opposition at bay in Jesus' name. Empower us with vision to see that day that you will return and everything will be made new. Until then, help us partner with you. Partner with you so that your word goes forth, your love goes forth, your compassion, your mercy goes forth, Jesus, from this place to wherever you'd have us go. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thanks to an invite from our Metro District Missions Mobilizer, he's also the director of Kingdom, Justice, and Mercy. So we're going to get to see one of the other directors next week, right? But this is the director of Kingdom, Justice, and Mercy, and he's our missions mobilizer, Omar Niebles, and he's preached here before. Omar invited smaller churches this time to come out to something called Converge. Converge is the global and local missions conference that happens annually through our district and, I'm sorry, through our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And because of Omar's generosity and his sight and the team's sight to realize, hey, this isn't just about engaging the bigger churches, right? We're not just inviting our 900 pluses. We're going to get people who are in these kinds of churches. The average church is around 75. I don't know if you know that. But to invite us to be there, to hear, to be inspired, to work peer-to-peer, and to discuss what is going on with our churches and missions engagement. And so that was the topic. It was innovate, reimagining church missions engagement. So I was able to take Lily and John and baby Eden to a conference in January in Columbus, Ohio, through the snow and through the ice and through the rain. So it wasn't a post-holidays vacation per se. And, you know, having a baby, an infant, join you have to make some accommodations. But I'm so grateful that we were able to go. And I'm grateful to Omar and Pastor Jesse for giving us that opportunity to encourage this trip and to bring it back today. And that's what we're going to do today. I'm just going to give you a recap of this. It's really not going to be my message. It's going to be hopefully an insight into what's happened through our Alliance World Fellowship and through Alliance Missions. And so we went. The main speakers there were Tim Crouch, who is our Vice President for Alliance Missions, and I'm going to give you some resources so you can read more about this and get engaged on the Alliance mission side if that's what your will is and that's what your thoughts are. And then we also had heard from Ted Esler. He's the president of something called Missio Nexus. And the reason why I'm sharing that is because I want you to understand we are resourced. This is not a weak movement. Right? God, first of all, God's behind us and the power of the Holy Spirit, but we are resourced and we are challenging those kinds of status quo situations. And that's what innovation is about, right? And so here's Ted Esler. His organization exists to see missional leaders accelerating the fulfillment of the Great Commission in servant partnership with the church globally. So here's an organization that works with thousands of people, missionaries, church people, people working together to make sure that the globe hears the love and the truth about Jesus. It was very challenging. He believes there's an innovation crisis right now. Okay? And maybe to you, you're like, well, why does this matter to me? That's great that you went, you heard. You sound like you're on fire a little bit about this stuff. What does this matter to me? We are all on that innovation spectrum. We are all somewhere on that line. We are either stagnating, we are either sustaining, we are innovating, or we are moving into what's called disruption. I hear that word and I want to go, well, I don't want disruption. Why would we want disruption in our churches? And Lily's going to share a little bit more about that, so I don't want to step on her toes, but I want you to understand the point, the big point is, if we are not moving forward with innovation, we are not thinking of new ways and being creative in the ways that we reach out here, right? That we will actually end up just, we're not doing anything. We're stagnating. And I'll talk a little bit more about this, but this come and see attitude that maybe we've had before, come here, check us out, come here, be with us. That doesn't work. We have to go. We have to converge and we have to go. And so right from the start, we were reminded by our vice president, Tim Crouch, that God, it is the Lord who is going to accomplish his mission. It is the Lord who's going to accomplish this mission. If we look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it tells us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And this is the line, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Like I said, we're not alone. Like I said, we have a part in this because the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. However, what is our part? How do we engage this? The Lord is the one who is set out to save, redeem, and restore his people back into relationship with himself, and he's the one who's continuing the work of his plan through his kingdom. So what's our part in it? We're going to put up this picture here. It's to be a spring-loaded car. What? Yeah. Again, these are not my notes. This is from our vice president for Alliance Missions, but I thought it was a great understanding. Okay? We are to be the spring-loaded car. We are to be the people who, when you pull back that car, and you have to think of that as deeper life with Jesus, right? Which is what we want to do, right? Life with Jesus, community purpose. When you pull back that spring-loaded car and you let it go, that force that's built up is pushing it forward, that momentum. So our deeper life does matter. Our deeper life really does matter. We need to work through that and continue to follow Jesus in deeper ways, not just staying still where we are. But because of that, our prayer life, our scripture reading, our worship of Jesus, all of those forms, They're meant to lead us into deeper Holy Spirit time that brings that fire alive and activates us to be his witnesses and to make disciples who make disciples. We talked a little bit about this last week, making disciples who make disciples. I'm gonna share a little bit about what stood out to me a little bit more, but first I'm gonna invite Lily right now to come on up. And it's gonna be like a little interview style chat here. You know, we try to make it cool. But this is family, right? This is literally family.
Literally family.
Literally family. But in case you don't know, this is Lily and Sakurlu, John's husband and daughter Eden. Lily was, how do I say this? So Lily has always had a heart for missions, global missions and local missions. Lily has served with City Relief in Patterson. Lily has gone to multiple countries and served the Lord with those talents and gifts that she has. Now, I'm not saying that to be like, oh, this is an example or we need to look up to her. I'm saying that she's walked the walk. And so that's one of the reasons why I said Lily should come, because she's going to hear things in a different way and be able to communicate them. And so thanks for agreeing to be interviewed by your sister. So Lily, what was the major idea or ideas that you came away with from this conference, from Converge?
Yes, as Lisa said, the main kind of topic of the conference was innovation. And one story that the speaker mentioned was he, about like 15 years ago, had used Skype to talk to somebody in Singapore. And then he brought up the fact that during COVID, the biggest thing that the church did was online church. But he was saying, that's so sad that the biggest thing we did was online church when I did something online 15 years ago. For most churches, that's the biggest way that we innovated. We're innovative. And I was really convicted, and I was trying to think, like, why was I so convicted by him sharing that story? Because at work, like, I love being creative. I love being innovative. A lot of us, you know, have such zeal and passion when we're at work, we bring ourselves fully. And like Lisa said, it's that disruption that we don't want to start in church. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to kind of put ourselves out there. My parents have really taught me and my sisters, like, you know, servant leadership, servanthood, you know, and we love to do the things that people don't do. We all ended up in like helping professions. But I was challenged that I don't bring my creativity to the church because sometimes I don't want to be uncomfortable. So that really stood out to me.
All right. So which international worker story stood out to you and why?
Okay. So I'm changing this guy's name. We're just going to call him Peter because he works in a country where, you know, he really can't put himself out there. So my sister and I, we were debating whether or not we wanted to go out for dinner with more people. We were just tired from the car ride. Like you said, there was a baby in the car crying, and, you know, we were like, really, we really didn't want to go out. But Omar just kept telling us, like, come out, come out, come out. And we're like, oh, all right. And John, you know, said he'll stay home with the baby in the hotel. So we went out, and Peter ended up in our car. So I'm sitting in the back talking to Peter, and as we're talking, I realize that he knows my uncle, one of my favorite uncles, one of our favorite uncles, and attended his wedding before we even met him. And so it was like an instant, years ago. This guy's retiring. He's 70 years old. He's about to retire. And so we like instantly connected. Me and Lisa sat with him during dinner, and he's sharing, I might get emotional, but he's sharing these stories about sharing the gospel with people. Just, it's painful to hear because it's so little movement that he's getting. But for him, there was such profound love and hope. Me and my sister were so emotional because we couldn't believe that this man, like the testimonies that he was sharing what seems so small to us, right? We're used to these stories of like, yeah, this guy came to faith. Oh, this group of people came to faith. My dad loves sharing stories like that from India. But like his stories were like this one lady that, you know, I was talking to, she believes in Jesus, but she believes in other gods. And then we had this one story about this guy who had this like supernatural, like, I don't want to say healing, but like deliverance. Yeah. And you would think this would be the moment that this man would commit his life to Jesus. But he's like, no, but there's still work to be done. I'm still discipling him. I'm still, you know, sharing my faith with him. And the joy and the hope that he had was so impactful. Because here in the States, like my old coworkers, one of my friends, she still calls me and she feels so lonely there because our coworkers, they're always constantly like, you know, reading cards and spirit animals and hugging trees and all these different things. And, you know, she's like, I feel so alone and I don't know how to, you know, combat like what they're saying, you know, it's so hard. And, you know, I can hold space like that, but to be long suffering and have perseverance and intimate, deeper relationship, that is the love of Jesus alone. And that man just embodied the love of Christ. And it was so beautiful to hear that. And he's retiring. He's 70 and he's just living his life out for Jesus and plans to still, you know, have these relationships and visit back and things like that. But that was definitely a God moment, you know, just that connection and then having ongoing conversation with him. So it was beautiful.
Yeah, Lily had responded to some of these questions a little bit earlier, and she says it this way. I want you to hear it. She says, discipleship wasn't just waving a magic wand over the individual. It was hard, but you could see the heart and time that he was putting into these relationships. And she asked the question, do we share with our neighbors that kind of vulnerability and love? It was convicting and beautiful to hear. I wanted you to hear those words.
Yeah, that part I totally forgot. I have this written down, but I'm not reading from it. But yeah, I was thinking about my neighbors. Like, it's so quick, like what I try to do with them. Like, here's the gift card. Hello, how's your kids? You know, go inside. Let me check out the new bathroom. You know, like, this is like long suffering, like standing with them and just small growth, small movement. And I feel like we get so fickle so quickly. We're like that microwave generation, like, we want instant results. And that was just beautiful to see. And I want to grow in that love.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. What did you learn about other churches that are our size and ways to engage the mission to create disciple-making disciples locally and globally? So what did you learn about how we can engage this mission to make disciples?
Yeah. This was during our peer-to-peer group. We sat with folks, like Lisa said, that are kind of in similar situations as us. And they were struggling. They were struggling like us, that they feel that if they bring any sort of innovation to their church, that there are a lot of people who are used to just doing the same things over and over again, the same programs, and they want to bring the same thing, you know, to the church. So in that way, it felt kind of good to hear, but also sad to see that it's kind of the same struggle across the board. You know, one thing, and there were people doing amazing things. I mean, there was this one guy from Puerto Rico who's a clown. Like, he legit,
literally a clown,
and he does ministry on the streets as a clown. And like, his wife was just sharing stories. Like, he's being innovative, you know, like, what? I was like, that's an amazing thing. Like, so bizarre, but like, it's working, you know. They have like a program for people that are deaf, you know, sign language and classes and things like that. So amazing. But personally, I think it was just good to hear that people are struggling with that. They brought up the same thing, that they're, you know, worried about making waves and that people will leave. But for me, like locally, like we have access to so many places that we can kind of jump in, like the refugee situation that's going on and how our Mother Church, is that what we call it? Mother Church PAC, you know, is doing something that we can jump in. So we all were just sharing ideas about what's going on locally. And obviously, globally, you know, we're connected with what's going on in Germany. I mean, that's how I went on a lot of my trips, through the church, through friends that were connected to other churches. So there's ways that we can jump in. And locally, I was even, you know, this morning thinking about, we had dinner with John's father, who he's slowly, you know, kind of reconnecting with. And his grandfather is from Azerbaijan, and his dad's from Turkey. Like, it's here. You know what I mean? It's right in our backyard. We don't have to go to another country to do this thing. But yeah.
Anything else you wanted to tell us?
So yeah, the last thing I wanted to share that I hope inspires you guys was the main speaker also talked about how, you know, in the next like 10 years, two major things that are going to go on is likely the legalization of prostitution, and how pornography for our children will not be if they're exposed, it'll be when they're exposed. So this is an area where we can be innovative. Why are we not currently thinking about ways to meet that need in 10 to 15 years? You know, and I just wanted to put that out there, not that that's what we're gonna do, but what are the things that we can see sooner than later coming down the road, and how can we meet that need to be a place of restoration or redemption? And you know, that's missions, that's local, that's here. And we don't have to make like a structured program, but there are ways that we can come together and think about the needs in communities and step into that.
Yes. I want a quick note on that.
Yeah.
That I saw like the visible, palpable fear on your faces when she brought up those topics. And I think that's the natural response, right? Like, we have that seizing fear that comes up. But we need to address that. We need to bring that to God and say, I'm afraid. I don't know what that looks like. What does that mean? But we're not alone. We need to work through that together and address some of these things that we're seeing in our own community head on, because we have the zeal of the Lord of hosts on our side. He's not sitting idly by and waiting for this to self-destruct. That's not the way this works. So I'm grateful to you for sharing that, being bold and putting that word before us. And I'm also grateful that you guys are willing to partner with us. And it doesn't have to be those issues right this second. Lily said we have some really easy ways to get involved. And I'll talk a little bit about missional community at the end of my message. But thank you, Lily, for this time. I'll take that for you. Yeah, let's give her a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, Lily. So friends, we were talking about the fact that being that spring-loaded car, right? And maybe having that deeper life leading us out. That's the picture I want you to keep in your mind. It's important for us to grow into maturity as a Christ follower. That's good. That's important. Yes, we need to do that. It doesn't stop there. And I've said this, but we talked about last week, this idea of coming through with our true self, right? I'm going to put that graphic back up here. That true self, right? And like not coming at it from our inflated view or our deflated view. We were asked, how do we let go of that inflation or that deflation? How do we invite others into the true discipleship? It is messy, guys. We need to embrace that messiness. It's a full of forgiveness. It's a full of repentance kind of discipleship. It's a discipleship. It doesn't require us to be our best self, right? We can say, hey, we're afraid. We don't know what's coming down the pike. But we have a God who is going to do this with us and has called us to this. Let us work together and die to ourselves and surrender the fig leaves that we've been putting on in this place. And how do we invite someone into the process where we are at? It's okay that you and I are not perfect. We're not gonna be. So let's start here. The kingdom of God is already here. We say this around here, Mark 1:15. It's our core verse. In the New Life, the New Living Translation, it reads, "The time promised by God has come at last," Jesus announced. "The kingdom of God is near." So if Jesus said it's here, it's near. It's here. The time is here. Believe the good news. Why are we hesitating to think that there's something more that we have to wait for? Why are we waiting? As I listen to stories of impact and preaching and teaching about innovation and missions and meeting needs, the one idea that I couldn't shake off so easily from the main session was this idea that the fullness of the kingdom of God is not diminished right now. I mean, look around us. I think this is the struggle for some people, right, following Jesus. They look around, they say, how can the fullness of the kingdom of God be here? Look, just look to my left, look to my right, look in my own home. How can we say that the fullness of God is here right now? Tim Crouch said it this way, until the appointed time when Jesus returns as the coming king of his kingdom, there is the working against or the opposition of the enemy. The opposition of the Satan, the accuser, the devil, the opposition of the kingdom of darkness, the powers, the principalities of darkness. This is not overtaking or removing the fullness of God. It's pushing in. It's not removing the fullness of God. It is already and not yet, but because of this opposition. So friends, we need to address the opposition, right? Like this is where I said about fear. What are our fears about getting to know our neighbors, about serving what they need, about reaching out beyond the, hey, here's a gift card, hey, here's my open home to just chit-chat and talk, shoot the breeze, right? Why aren't we not going forward? Well, Tim Crouch gave us 5 D's of opposition. And I want to put these up there. And in your bulletin, you have spaces for these. So distraction. This is what he called playing with the toys and teases of the wrong kingdom. He said disbelief. This idea that we think that the battle isn't actually won yet. We still have to face that disbelief. Denial, that we're waiting for heaven. We're waiting for something. We're not wearing the armor and we're not wielding the sword. That death, these casualties that are in battles that are meant to be cleanup, right? It's actually supposed to be taken care of. Yes, we know that there's troubles and there's fights, but we let that become the way that we stop, we stagnate, we don't move forward. We don't move in love. Or the devil, that he is going to go kicking and screaming until the very end. When he said that, I was kind of like, that's true. He's just going to keep doing what he does. So we need to keep doing what we're supposed to do. And he said, these are the answers to those ways of opposition that the local Christ followers need to embody. Did everybody get those 5? Distraction, disbelief, denial, death, and the devil. And these are the answers. The next slide. Oh, sorry, there is. Yep, there it is. Wake the distracted people. That means those around us, but those within us, the stuff within us. Wake that distraction to a reordered life purpose. It's the beginning of the year, right? Like, I know it's the end of the month, the first month already. What are you reordering in your life purpose today? What can you sit for a few minutes in silence and solitude and say to the Lord, what do you need to reorder in my life so that my priority is not my comfort, my success, my fill in the blank? What needs to be reordered so that I'm living my life on purpose for you? We need to proclaim truth to the disbelief. Guys, this is what we've talked about a few times, right? When we hear a lie, we need to root out that lie and put the Lord's truth in front of it. When we feel like there's something, you know, terrible that, you know, that we're hearing, we need to pull that out and say, that's not the truth. The truth is, God says, last week we said this, God says, I'm chosen, I'm forgiven, I'm free, I'm restored. Come from that identity. But also, we need to proclaim truth to the disbelief in our community. Do you believe that God will accomplish this? We need to stop and stop that disbelief and call it right out. You know, again, I'm saying this, but I'm like, I know I'm passionate right now with some fire here, but I'm telling you, there's got to be compassion in it, right? When you sit with someone who has lost someone or someone who is grieving a loss of something significant in their life, you're not going to be like, listen, get over your disbelief. No, but can we sit with them and say, the Lord is still for you. The word tells us that he has a purpose for you. That kind of hope, that joy that was on Peter's face, I can't tell you, that's what made me cry when I met this man. He didn't have the end in sight. He knew. He was like, well, you know, I'm just going to keep the relationship growing. I know I'm guilty of this. When I see resistance or I feel resistance in somebody that I'm talking with, I'm like, okay, that's on you then. Shake the dust off my feet, move along. That's what the Lord said. Find place, people of peace. But that's actually not okay. I know how to have right boundaries with people. I'm not telling people to beat me up. However, I need to be a little bit more firm in the core of my being that God has put these people in my life. And so I'm going to keep going, keep talking, keep asking, and say sorry. Hey, this is the way of the kingdom, forgiveness, repentance, truth. So yes, proclaim truth to disbelief, waking cultural Christians to true life and to true story. And again, I'm not going to be able to go through each one of these in detail, but I think you can get that. This is not a culture. This is not a social group. We have life purpose beyond what we want to accomplish. We have life purpose from God, and we need to be awoken to that. And then, guys, a wounded warrior. We've been wounded. Christ, following Christ doesn't mean that we're like perfect and everything's A-okay. Following Christ means we're going to suffer. Following Christ means we're going to have disbelief and doubt, and we're going to have troubles. But how do we become the wounded warriors that we turn that pain into passion, especially for those hurting? And you know it. I don't have to say it again. I will. There are people who are lonely right now. You see it in their faces. When you're at the coffee shop, or you're at the grocery store, or you're elsewhere, you see the loneliness. People are averting your look, right? They're averting your glance. It's almost like they don't want to talk to you either, because they're like, not sure. But how about we say, hey, how are you? I've tried this at the grocery store. Be honest, 4 out of 5 people don't even respond. But I'll go in, put my head up, hi, how you doing? Can I help you with something? Or, you know, that kind of engagement, it's endearing and it takes the pressure off. It doesn't have to be an awesome batting average. We don't have to be like, oh, 4 out of the 5 people I talked to today, they all responded and I felt like the Spirit was moving. No, you don't have to muster that up. But just, can we engage our community and our people? And then here's something that's important. I think we need training in this, and we will do this in our missional community. Leading and praying, binding and loosing. This is the act of being in the authority of the kingdom. That might feel uncomfortable to some, but we talked about this in our Holy Spirit series over the summer last year, about being prophetic and speaking that blessing and that commissioning over you, but also over other people. How are you growing in praying for others, in binding what needs to be bound, and loosing the peace and the grace of heaven on people that we meet? This is our call. How are we living this out? It's convicting, like Lily said, to recognize we don't have the same love for relationship building like these IWs who are in contexts that are spiritually challenging and dangerous. It might be spiritually challenging where we are, But it's not dangerous. It is dangerous where these people are. So I'm asking, do we know our neighbors? Do we love them? Do we know the people that we work with? Do we love them? And can I ask this question? Do they see the Jesus that you know that is making a difference in your life? Do they see the fruit of your faith in your living? You don't have to be the cleaned up self. You don't have to be this person who's like, I got it all together. I know Jesus is going to answer all my prayers and I'm going to, you know, put out this face that's not real. No, we want the true self. Act out of the true self. But do they know that Jesus is the reason why you have a testimony, why you have a story, that it's changed, it's grown? Do you bless them? Do you bless them and are you commissioned to go out? Don't wait until the kids are done with their schoolwork and the carpooling comes to an end. Don't wait until you have all the things that you've wanted to have, create the perfect meeting space in your home. Don't wait until everything's put together physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I'll share a little bit that if I'm 100% honest about where I'm at as a pastor of worship and outreach, I can be distrustful when it comes to new relationships. I can be distrustful. I've learned that sometimes people can be selfish, sometimes people can be manipulative. And then there's other moments that it's hard for me to accept that every person I meet and engage with deserves love. If I'm being truthful, if I'm putting that out there, how do we wrestle with that? Or do we kind of like, oh, well, I don't really know. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm distracted. Something else is more important. But if I don't wrestle with this lack of trust and this lack of love for everyone, if I don't say out loud that it's my trust issues with God, that it's my lack of ability to receive love from God, that's the reason why. It's not the people. It's something inside of me and my deeper life that needs to be fixed. But if I don't wrestle with that and put that to death, I can talk till I'm blue in the face and invite you guys to all the communities and all the things to do. We're not gonna do it. So, that's me, if I let that continue, that's me letting the opposition take hold. So just have that picture in your mind. That is not what you want. Is it the true state of where you're at? Maybe, and that's okay. If you have distrust for people, or if you have a lack of love for people, or fill in the blank with what your issue is, and you're not putting that before God and saying, Lord, I mean, I do pray this. Lord, it's very hard to love this person, right? Pray for my enemies, right? Doing that. It's very hard for me to trust this person. Give me the power and the strength through your spirit today to be a light, to be a light. We got to do that. You and I are living in the abundant love of a God who is on mission to make sure all of his children know that they are loved and cared for. If every person knew that God loved them and cared for them, yes, Eden, yes, preach it, girl. If every person knew that God loved them and cared for them, it'd be a totally different world out there. This kingdom, it preaches freedom for the captives. We sang this. It gives sight to the blind. It frees the oppressed. It is the time of God's favor right now. It's his favor that the children who know they are loved share with those who don't. It's his favor. So let's partner with his favor. We have to challenge the status quo. I said this a little bit earlier, kind of jumping back to this idea. We cannot keep saying, come and see. That does not work. You know why? Pull out that phone that Jesse talked about. Come and see. Can't you come and see? Anything that you want? Why would you come and see here? I could listen to any awesome preacher. You guys wouldn't have to, you know, be tired listening to me right now. I could listen to great worship. Money was awesome, but I can, right? We can listen to the people who actually wrote those songs. Is that what it's about? So if it's not, if that's not even what it's about for you, why are we expecting these people to be thinking that? Come and see. They don't even know that Jesus is the answer. How much greater would it be if they saw that Jesus was the answer through your word and your deed? How much easier would it be to have a living life-size example that when they're broken and they're hurting, you're sitting with, you're leaning in, you're speaking with, you're engaging, you're hugging, you're holding them the way that the Lord held us at that cross? We have to invite people into our daily lives. We have to make space to hear their stories, and we have to share the parts of our stories with them that intersect with those their stories. And I know you're doing that on some level. Most of us have started on this journey, but I think we need to go further. Yes? Amen? Amen. Yes. The Lord wants this. Our Father wants all his children. The point of today's recap here is that we must converge here. Yes, that's good. Let's converge here, but let's go. Let's converge and go. Converge here on Sundays. Converge in our Kairos communities. Converge in that missional community that we're going to start. Converge in prayer for our neighbors and the global church and the unreached. But then we must go. We must. I want to share one more global story with a video, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about missional community and what we're doing in our town. So this video, there's a reason why, so pay attention. The line that runs through is that relationship building is where we have to make a difference. Whether it's in Senegal or in Kendall Park, Hillsboro, Franklin Park, Lawrenceville, Princeton, East Brunswick, wherever you're from. And we've decided that Kairos is going to love and serve South Brunswick. And one way that we've decided to innovate is to become to start a missional community that is going to go out. So we'll meet for prayer, for learning about our context, for learning how the best way to engage people, to love them, to serve them, but then we're going to serve them. So they'll meet twice a month on the opposite weekends or the opposite weeks of the Kairos community. So technically, you can join both if you want. Now, you have to understand what season you're in. You have to know what season you're in. That's probably too much for most of you that have a lot going on. So I want you to pray and discern what season are you in? Are you in the season where you need to continue to build community with people and you want people to join around you? And then, you know, there's ways to get involved through Kairos communities in serving our community. But missional community's purpose, and I'm kind of jumping around here, so I apologize. Missional community's purpose, it's at the bottom of your bulletin. It's a community of Christ followers on mission with God in obedience to the Holy Spirit that demonstrates tangibly and declares creatively the gospel of Jesus Christ to a specific pocket of people. We're not trying everything everywhere. We're finding where the needs are here, and we're moving into that. That's what a missional community is. So I invite you to that. But the asks are still the same, okay? The asks are still the same. We pray, we give, we go. You've been around a church, you know that's missions. We pray, we give, we go. We pray for our IWs. We pray for the situations that they're in. The global church is facing a lot. There's an easy way to do it. It's right in your bulletin. You can go there. There's a prayer request list. You can sign up for it through the Alliance Missions page. That's in your bulletin. That's one. There's also something called Alliance Life Magazine, and if you're interested in hearing these stories and reading them, you can sign up for a free subscription. That's through, because we're an Alliance church, we can access that. We give, right? You guys know we're already giving to Sean and Susie McLean, who are our IWs that we sent off once when they were leaving. We pray and we give towards them. And not only that, this past fall, we joined in and we jumped in to serve the Warren Church plant by also giving towards that their building and furnishing their building. And I have thank you notes, a thank you note from that church plant, so you can go there at the back and see it. But you can also see, sorry guys, but you can also see where we gave to a New Brunswick elementary school, the Livingston Elementary School. We gave gifts and through South Brunswick Social Services, and Livingston Elementary School sent us a thank you as well. So thank you. Continue to share that generosity and give. And we go. Yes, there's an opportunity for Germany this year. Okay, and I don't know if that you can still sign up for that, but if you're interested, see me. There's a team going to Germany right around Easter. Okay, you can participate in the Young Lives outreach that's coming up. That's not a hard ask. It's right up the road. You go there for a few hours. You get to see what's going on with these young teens and bless them. It's a Friday night. You can also sign up to serve with Alliance for Refugees if you are interested in going beyond just participating in what's called the Restart Kit initiative, which that's easy. The Restart Kits are literally these kits for different parts of the homes. We have family number six and seven here in Central Jersey. I'm pretty sure one of them is right in our town. Guys, why wouldn't we start there? Why wouldn't we just, let's furnish what we can furnish. We have that ability. And if you can't do that, you can give part of one bin, right? Like, you don't have to give a whole bin as an individual or as a family. But a Kairos community, can you guys maybe get together and say, oh, we're going to do this restart kit for a kitchen or for a bedroom? And better yet, because I'm always thinking about what you can do outside of Kairos, could you start something like that in your neighborhood? Could you bring that vision to your neighbors and say, hey, we know we've got some refugees here. There's a refugee agency that we're working with. And they're looking for these items. There's a list. Would you guys want to, like, maybe do the whole block with give a part of the restart kit? That's engaging people who have a heart already to serve anyway, right? But sharing the good news of Jesus in the same time. So this missional community, guys, this is going to be the last thing I say to you. This missional community, we believe that if we get together, we pray, we discern the needs, and we move out, we mobilize. Because mobilization is innovation. If we mobilize to go, we are going to make a difference. It's not us. The Spirit of the Lord is going to set fire to those places in our hearts, but also among us. And I want you to know that the first meeting will be February 23rd at 6:30. We have iPads back there. You can sign up for anyone in the Kairos communities or for the missional community back there before you leave. So converge and go. Take one more step closer to being on mission with God. It can be as small as checking out the Alliance Missions page. It can be a bigger contribution, like signing up to serve South Brunswick with our missional community. It can be hearing the voice of God tapping you on the shoulder. Friends, I believe it. It's already been heard in this church that God is tapping on the shoulder of one of our very own to go beyond South Brunswick, beyond Central New Jersey, already happening. And I'm not saying that person's the only one. I believe that out of small churches, the Lord raises up the passion just as much. Just as much. I came from a small church. You ask my sister or my parents, every one of our generation and that generation is somewhere at another church serving beyond their means. And that was because those parents prayed for that. So let's pray. And though it didn't look the way they thought, that we aren't all together in that same little church, here we are spreading the love of Jesus, and here you are doing the same. Converge and go. I'm actually just going to pray for us, because I'm a little over time, as always. I'm going to pray for us and commission you to go and be mobilized. Could you stand with me, please? Thanks for your patience. Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you rest on these, our friends, our church, our family? Would you move in power in the places where there's fear or there's doubt or there's disbelief or there's pain or there's loss or there's hurt? Would you move in power, redeeming and restoring their stories? Would these stories be the very ones that move into our community to bring hope and healing and strength? Would these stories and the willingness to share them be the light and the love of Christ in Kendall Park and beyond? You are commissioned, friends, to go and make a difference, not in your own power, not in your own ideas, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. Amen. We don't know what the next 7 days will hold, but may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he give you strength and courage and peace. Amen.